And welcome back. We are broadcasting live from the RCU corporate headquarters in downtown Eau Claire. The subject tonight is creating major new event facilities in Eau Claire, a clear vision community forum. I'm Al Ross. Thanks for joining us. We have a pretty good sized live audience here. We've been taking questions prior to news time. And also on our panel, Linda John, Executive Director, Visit Eau Claire, Ben Rich Gruber, Executive Director, Eau Claire Regional Arts Center, and Mike Rindo, representing the University of Wisconsin in Eau Claire. We have been receiving and will allude to some comments that have been received and continue to come in online at volume1.org/eventcenter, volume one, wonderful community partner and partnering us with us here at WPR for this event to point out how diverse they are. Their next event is a pillow fight. So, let's see. I wanted to... Linda, did you want to bring up the gentleman that you were talking about?
Yes.
Because there are several things that were brought up to us during our break, so let's begin with that.
Well, I was thinking about the question about public-private partnerships and funding and how, you know, that might all work together. And coincidentally, Visit Eau Claire went through a strategic planning session with our board of directors today, and the facilitator that we use for these types of things over the years has been a former director of the Madison Convention and Visitors Bureau, and he happens to be with us tonight. His name is Bill Geist, and he has... there's a lot of things he can share with us as far as the process that Madison went through in securing the Monona Terrace. And I just thought some of his stories about specifically the funding aspects of Monona Terrace might be helpful to the conversation.
You willing?
Nothing like putting him on the spot.
No, not at all. And I heard when I first got here that Bill Geist was here, and I thought it was CBS Sunday morning. I went, holy moly, this is a big event. Welcome.
Hey, and thank you for covering this tonight. It's great to have Wisconsin Public Radio here. The process in Madison, we knew from the beginning, being the city that used to have the nickname the city that can't put two bricks together. We knew it had to come from the grassroots. As much as the concept for the Frank Lloyd Wright Design Convention Center started with our mayor, it was quickly embraced by 60 different community groups before it even came to the fore. And then we also knew that there was no way we were going to get this done if one or two entities funded it. It actually came down to six revenue streams. And $15 million of that project came from future room tax revenues from the hotels that were going to benefit from the presence of the convention center, $12 million from city property tax, $12 million from the county. They would never say it was coming from the county sales tax, but we always kind of figured it did, and had they not had the county sales tax, we didn't think that they'd actually have been a partner. We had about $8 million of private sector, about $15 million from the state of Wisconsin, who knew that its capital city needed a convention and meetings facility, and then a couple of million dollars in TIF, which brought us to about $63 million, which was enough to build that facility at that point in time. It spread the pain. Everybody was in for a little bit. And the actual language of the referendum question was, do you support this so long as it won't cost more than $12.12 on the average homeowner's property tax? That's what moved us across the 50% threshold. Because if we said, do you support this, the answer was going to be no, because there was too many unanswered questions. But if we could prove to people that it was only going to be $12 a year in your taxes and you would get this fabulous facility on the lake, well, 50.8% of the voters said yes. So.
And it's been there how long?
I think we're celebrating 15 years this year. So opened in 1997.
And the site was a foregone conclusion?
It was, because that was the site that Frank Lloyd Wright had designed specifically for. There was no way to put this. It actually sits against a 60-foot cliff. So there's no other cliffs in Madison that are 60 feet tall that we could put it against. So this was really where it kind of had to be.
We're going to talk in a bit about the economic impact of a facility like this. How's it doing for Madison?
It's been a game changer. Anybody that spent time in Madison in 1990 knows that downtown was an absolute ghost town at that point in time. By 2002, 5 years after it opened, there had been $500 million of private sector investment in the downtown. So beyond what it did in bringing visitors to town, it brought investors to town.
You guys have any questions of Bill up there on the panel? Or anyone in the room?
So you're going to have to work your way over here. You want us to do a song and dance while you do that? Or?
No, that's okay.
Because we'll get people.
I'll just get the radio. I'll get the comment and then I'll throw the mic to Bill. Yes, sir.
As someone who actually visited the Monona Terrace for a school, I'm in Hotel for Restaurant Management, and just seeing the facility opened my eyes to things that are possible. I'm a big city person who came to this small town and would like something kind of like that. I don't think anyone would deny that we need this, but the funding is definitely one of those things that everyone worries about, but the money that it will bring will offset anyone's worry about the funding. So we need not look at that and actually try to make the biggest and best facility that we can to bring everyone who passes 94 to go from Chicago or Milwaukee to the cities. We need them to stop here. So we need to stop worrying about the money so much as the funding goes. But once you bring one thing that Monona Terrace told us is when they built or when they thought about it, they what did they do? They constructed a model and shopped that around. So that's something that we need to think about as far as making a model of what we need and then shopping it around instead of I think everyone needs this. We do. We're not in any type of disagreement that we need this, but we need to know what it looks like and what we're trying to really do with this. So have you guys thought of a model constructing that and then shopping it around is like Monona Terrace did, because that seemed to be the best way that I heard about getting an idea out there. So
maybe Frank Lloyd Wright has another one just lying around there.
I think it's a great idea, but before we do a model, we need to know what it is you want to build, and once we have those kinds of concepts underway, you could create a number of models. You could create one that's a megaplex that might be able to be capable of doing all of the functions that have been identified thus far. You talk about a big footprint. You need a really big footprint to do that. Yeah, but maybe if you say, well, we want two things, and one of them would be a combination of this and a combination of that, or freestanding, then I think having models is a great idea, because it will be able to enable people to visualize, because sometimes they have a hard time understanding what it is you want to do. So that's a great point.
How do we get to that point, though? Such a specific point where we know that where we know what the community wants. I mean, we've bantered about 10,000 people. We've talked about, how do you get to those specifics of what kind of a model to build? I mean, it's sometimes the physical plant is enough to cause people to change their minds a little bit and say, wow, I guess that is pretty cool.
Closer to the actual, it feels like they're closer to what they want than trying to talk about it and visualize what we're doing. It feels like you're actually, selling us something that we can see and feel. Maybe think about working harder on that aspect, trying to make it as big as possible, I feel, instead of thinking about the money aspect again. I think we have enough public awareness on whether we need this or not. But Eau Claire, University of Eau Claire, CBTC, they all have, I think, enough money to at least get things started. So we need to maybe look at them starting the ball, and then the rest of the community coming in and working with them as far as, like, RCU can do some funding or something like that, because they are really community-based. That would be really nice to get them involved instead of just lending us this nice room that we're in.
That's a start, though.
That is the start. And along with the start, we need a finish, to see. So let's think about that.
So, Bill, you mentioned in your dissertation a little bit about, you used the term game changer. Was the model, was that kind of a, and was that a real strategic way, or did you have any other suggestions of ways that you can convince the people that it's a pretty good idea, worth considering?
Yeah, the model was very significant. I think the renderings really sparked people's imagination. But it does come down to deciding what it is first. I think that's the conversation that this community needs to have, is what is that whatever this facility is, and I'm not here to say you need a convention center or a performing arts center. Hey, you need them all. But you have to pick one and then go with it and then do the renderings, do the architectural designs, do the cost-benefit analysis. I mean, all of that comes into play. And everybody responds to a different stimuli. Some it's visual. Some it's the pure numbers. And some we found was identifying people in the community that that would benefit from Monona Terrace that aren't hoteliers, restaurateurs, and attractions. They're dry cleaners. They're florists. They're limo drivers. They're your neighbor right next door. That they depend on visitors coming into the community for their livelihood.
And how did you reach those people? Did you visit them and say, one-on-one?
We identified a bunch of those people and said, would you be our poster child? And they said, yeah. And so we would, you know, take a picture, and part of the ad would say, you know, I'm from Monona Terrace, and I'm a dry cleaner. And people would say, huh? How does that work? Well, let me tell you. So we found unique voices that weren't traditional hospitality voices to bring the message to the rest of Madison.
It's awfully good to have you here. Any other questions for Bill? Yes, sir?
As a visual artist, I'd like to see a facility that would expand what's available to the visual artists in the community. I'm just in Dancing Hawk, Stone Feather Fine Art Studio, and I've just been in the process of trying to book an exhibition of my work, and I talked to David Brock today down at ECRAC, and he tells me they're booked out to 2015 right now, and he wouldn't even let me submit my work right now. He said, Justin, we'd be sitting on it until at least October before we'd even consider looking at anybody. So I think, you know, everybody talks about convention centers and sports things and all that. Please consider the visual arts as well. It's so enriching to the community. I know I belong to the Eau Claire Area Art League as well as the Chippewa Valley Art Association, and we'd like to see some sales. And I commonly talking to people in the community, they say they don't feel like they know anything about art. Let's change that. You know, and when we change that, it enriches the entire community, and people get involved, and they do buy work.
I think you're right. So Monona Terrace, while you're still here, and I'll let you go in just a second, it has a little bit of everything inside?
Actually, no. It really is a meeting and convention space. You could probably do cheerleading competitions and music concerts, and there are some concerts and some art exhibits that are there, but it really is designed as a meeting and convention facility.
Thanks. That's Bill Geist. He's in town. Did I see a hand here before?
I would also like to comment, Justin, again, I know about a lot of art conventions that happen around different parts of the country. I'm familiar with various trade magazines in the arts, the Artist Magazine. I happen to be a pastel artist. I watched the Pastel Journal, Southwest Art Magazine. They all talk about various venues where they hold these large conventions, in the arts industry. That's big money, folks. You know, that's huge money, let me assure you. And typically they're held in places like Albuquerque. I lived in Albuquerque for 3 years. It ain't that big a town, not that much different than Eau Claire. You know, and I've been all over the country in my 55 years so far. I finally feel like I'm home. But to stay here, I feel like I need to see these kinds of things happen, or I'm going to be looking for other places to live. And I love Eau Claire.
And I know, as host of Spectrum West, we have a plethora of visual art people around. And, you know, Ben, I mean, from a personal standpoint, ECRAC is what he's describing. I mean, it is a combination of entertainment venue, and you do have your gallery. And I think common sense says that's probably a good idea to have that combination.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I think anything we do, you know, if there's a performing arts center, it would be a fine and performing arts center. There would definitely be gallery space. Eau Claire has a huge wealth of visual artists, internationally known artists that call Eau Claire their home, and they need their recognition. They are all entrepreneurs. They are small business owners. And it's a different type of business, and they require a different type of attention and advertising. And we really work hard at ECRAC to try and make that happen. But, yeah, it is a limited space. There's only so much we can do. We are booked out to 2015, which is wonderful that we can be selective about who comes in. But it's also a downside because we don't have that extra space to keep that, you know, rotation going in the meantime. So there's opportunity there.
That's the voice of Ben Richgruber, Executive Director of the Eau Claire Regional Arts Center, also on our front panel anyway. We have a back panel too. Linda John, Executive Director of Visit Eau Claire, and Mike Rindo from UW Eau Claire. You, sir, have a question or comment?
Yes, my name's Jeff Stevens. I spent about approximately 15 years in Parks and Recreation, and I served on a couple of Wisconsin Park and Rec Association state conferences. And during my time involved with them, they never really considered Eau Claire. They didn't have either an adequate facility, but also they had a shortage, they felt, of hotel space. Do you feel that that is a current shortcoming of a, that would be able to support a facility of this nature, especially multi-day, or would that also be another component that you would need to look at, increasing the hotel space in Eau Claire?
Yeah, I mean, is that a residual effect of building something new, or is that something that you make sure goes hand in hand?
I'll take that one.
Okay.
Well, first of all, Wisconsin Parks and Rec Association is on our too large to accommodate list, so we definitely know we don't have the facilities to host that. First of all, Eau Claire citywide year-round occupancy currently is at about 55%. That's just slightly below the state average. So to say that we have a shortage of hotel rooms really wouldn't be accurate. And as I look at the innkeepers in the room, they're probably happy that I'm not advocating for more hotels to be built next week or anything. But the issue becomes more if you have a large facility that can accommodate and attract these types of events, it's important to have hotel rooms in very close proximity to that to make it work. In other words, it's not a competitive package to say we've got this huge 60,000 square foot facility and we'll bus you across town to stay in the hotel. That would not be a competitive solution. So that's where the hotel piece would definitely come into play with the development of facilities.
All righty. Thank you. As you can probably tell, we are talking about creating major new event facilities in Eau Claire, a Clear Vision Community Forum. This is Ideas 88.3 WHWC. I'm Al Ross, and we have a live audience here at the RCU corporate headquarters. Whose hand was up? This gentleman.
Al, I wanted to kind of just give you a little historical perspective. I think you need to know where this has come from and how it's been going, how it's gone through in the past years. Brian Larson already indicated the fact that UW-Eau Claire, when they built the Haas Fine Arts Center, attempted to get support from Eau Claire County, and I believe it was the city of Eau Claire, and yeah, that was turned down back in 1970. And then there was a gap for about 4 years, and the next iteration was the UW Extension Madison was retained by Eau Claire County to come in here and look at what to do with the then Eau Claire County Junior Fairgrounds, which were on Fairfax behind the mega complex today. And the idea there was to model it after Dane County's new Coliseum, which was a brand new multipurpose facility in 1968, and this was 1974. I remember the Potter Associates architects came up from Madison, and they made a presentation in 74. By 1975, people were getting excited about building a multipurpose center, which, as you know, is a little different from a convention center, a little different from a performing arts facility. By 1975, there was an attempt to then go to the next step, get the city and the county, the school district to hire a consultant and start working. No dice. County turned it down. The school district, I think, approved it, and I think the city approved it, but there was no dice. So went on to 1981, another big attempt. I was involved in the 1974-75 one. I was also involved in the 1981 attempt, which looked like it was really going to go. And that was, again, a multipurpose facility on what is now the Eau Claire Sports Center soccer park area. That was going to be the site of another type of Coliseum-type structure. Plenty of parking in those days. 80 acres of land was available in those days. It was undeveloped. Lots of motel, our most of our motels and hotels were right around there. Several are still there. And it looked like a go. The county, ironically, said, let's go with it. The city said, no dice. It's not near the not near enough to the downtown. We want to put it downtown. Ah, okay. Fast forward to about the mid-'80s, late-'80s. And then the Chamber of Commerce got involved. And I remember Monty Blusky was then, I think, chairman of the he was a CEO of what was then Bertelsen Company, then Wifley. And he was chairman of this committee. And they put together a very nice proposal for a convention center downtown in, guess where? Right where you're sitting. This whole area was going to be raised. It was a very terrible-looking area. It was going to be raised, and then they were going to put that in here. That went as far as a referendum, and that went down the tubes. So you see, part of the problem was that we found out, and I think Mike Rindo and Ben and Linda touched on this, is that different people have different expectations of what they want. Some wanted a multipurpose facility. I'm not interested in performing arts. Some said, we're interested in performing arts. We're not interested in that other stuff. And the other one said, well, we need a convention facility. We're not interested in the other two. And so the Nareshill, can't get together. And so the comment I think Mike made, you have to decide what you want. I hope that this process that Clear Vision started and hopefully is a continuing one would help identify a unity behind one or the other. It sounds like hybrids are not what seems to work and or work for a number of reasons, but you can't get the energy behind it. So where is the energy today? Is that behind performing arts, fine arts? I would tend to guess perhaps more today than 10, 20, 30 years ago, whereas I think many years ago was more, we want a multi-purpose facility.
One way of participating, of course, is to log on to volume1.org/eventcenter. We have a comment. It reads, downtown location is just not feasible, and I think a smaller upscale theater would be a better fit for that area to keep the revenue in Eau Claire and to benefit Eau Claire's existing businesses, including a large selection of hotels and restaurants. A larger event center location near I-94 provides the best access, growth opportunities, and will support the city as a whole. And then it says funding, quote, unquote, Menard Center, anyone? So thanks for that comment. I'm going to talk to John here for just a second. He came up, and again, this is, I think it's interesting for us to have a good perspective on how things were. And John was telling me during the break how things were. High schools playing at Zorn Arena and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I grew up, I attended the campus school in Schofield Hall and have played in the gym at Schofield Hall, and I've been in plays at the auditorium in Schofield Hall. And at that time, the Blue Golds played at the high school gym on Main Street. And then I went to high school there, and they built the Zorn Arena. And so the high school started playing at the Zorn Arena, and you had to get there at 6 o'clock for a high school game. You couldn't get tickets after Wednesday. They filled the Zorn Arena every time the Old Abes played, and so did the university at that time. It was really a going thing. So I kind of think nobody wants to go back to the auditorium and the gym in main school, high school. So maybe when you see the progress that we've made, it's time for another step. And I'm kind of with Dave on, I think the arts have passed up the sports now. And I used to be a big sports fan.
Well, you have a Rose Bowl sweatshirt on there, John. You must have been. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's almost as if you don't want things to get to a certain point, you know, that you just literally have to do something. Yes, sir.
As a member of the creative class of Eau Claire, I've lived here my whole life, and I think it's a good time for my comments after reading the online and what Dave said here. My first concern when talking about this is not that I don't think we don't need a multi-purpose facility. and a quote-unquote convention center. But I think that there's a hankering, a hunger for a cultural space here in town. And I think that going to La Crosse or Duluth, these comparable communities, you see the wreck in Duluth, and it's a big, empty space. And not all the time. And I recognize that part of the need that we have here is economic development, people coming in from out of town. But what I think about when I think about having a convention center is that if we have these conventions coming in, wouldn't it be nice to have some things going on for them to say, hey, Eau Claire has this going on. So it's not that I don't think we need a convention center. I think we do. But I just think that the hunger and the need for a cultural sort of cornerstone in town is so important and vital. I just have a couple other small things. There's culture, you know, coming that can come up from outside of town. As Ben knows, programming is challenging in a 1,500-seat venue here in Eau Claire. There's so many, you know, growing up being in bands from around here, I always have to wait till a venue was there supplying a platform for creativity. And I think there's a lot of music and art and visual art and performing arts here, but there just isn't a platform for people to get better. And so we have all these people come into the amazing music programs here, and then they just have to kind of leave. And it's just real frustrating at this point to me and to a lot of people. And going off of the smaller upscale theater and kind of putting, in my eyes, wanting to put the performing arts and the cultural aspect kind of in the front of this discussion, I think having a multi-use center, but having it centered around the arts and performing would be really vital for some of that economic development, because you have to have, you know, we can have a big theater and we can put things in it from out of town, but there's got to be a viable, smaller scale venue that you can have the mid-size performing people, that the people that, you know, if we wait till they just get big, then we're just going to be waiting till they come around and decide they want to come back to Eau Claire. If we can have a mid-size venue here in town for filmmakers or whatever, and also bands and musicians, songwriters to come through, we catch them on their first go around, and then they want to come back, and we show them a good time, and people want to see it. It also provides the all-important platform for artists within our town to have a platform and to continue working. I have some other things to say, but that's the biggest thing.
Spoken by a man who I think probably knows what he's talking about right there. Thank you. I've been informed that the audio stream for this thing is just not working. So the archive of tonight's program will be available by noon tomorrow at wpr.org/Eau Claire. Now, there's a rebuttal on the Volume 1 site to the downtown location that says, spend some time downtown and you'd get over that fast. This is in response to someone who said the downtown location is not feasible. There is parking available and a good amount of dilapidated and underutilized space on the riverfront. Much of the downtown misconception is based on people who are not willing to walk more than 50 feet from their parking space to get to their destination. I did not put emphasis on any of those words because I agree with it or not. Okay. Here's a question for Ben. There is so much public support for Sculpture Tour Eau Claire. Could a space for outdoor sculptures near a new center be kept in mind?
Yes.
Yes. I knew that was coming.
Yeah. These are good questions. Keep them coming.
Those are good, yeah. What's that? Loveland, Colorado. Oops, I'm caught on a chair. Thanks. Really? Well, that's been a boom for us. Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm John Stoneberg. I'm the Public Library Director. I'm also on the Theater Guild Board, and I was on the Good Life Planning Committee. But I want to concur with the remarks about the performing arts and also about what Linda John was saying about losing business to conventions. But I'm a big performing arts consumer. I go to the Twin Cities. I mean, I go to the things here, but I go to the Twin Cities for the Ordway and for the things at the Hennepin Theater Trust. I know that Ben is probably have the ability to have Broadway Across America people come through here. We have a lot of things that are going through from Madison area to the Twin Cities that we lose because we don't have the venue, performing venues for this. We're going to La Crosse for Elton John, and we're going to the Twin Cities for theater, and I'm spending my money there. I would like our money being spent here, and those people who want to go to performing arts things will come from the Twin Cities, will come from La Crosse if it's the right venue and the right production. So I think we can count on that money as well. Plus, we're a hub, regional hub for the smaller communities. So I think we keep that in mind when we're thinking about a performing arts, that we can draw those people that are going to other places to us.
I just had a thought. Somebody taking notes here?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I had a question for the panel, but I think we all identify Wisconsin as a small, mid-sized college city in the Midwest, and there's obviously a lot of other cities like this that have went through this same issue. We've heard kind of Madison with the Terrace, but Madison, I think we all agree, is a bigger city, and they have a lot of different cultural centers. And La Crosse with original, the convention center there and us trying to keep up in the past. But have we looked at other cities in this area? And if so, what is kind of the wish list of what other cities our size have done in their downtown recently, and what's been the impact in there? Do we kind of have a wish list of, and I'm making this up completely, but Des Moines has put in a great downtown center that covers this, this, and this, and we'd like to reenact something similar. Do we kind of have a background of information looking at what we're trying to move forward towards?
We do.
What are comparables?
We've been studying comparable, competitive, dream facilities for 15, 20 years at least. And we'll have another session like this on April 25th.
Yes.
And part of the information that I'll be sharing there is exactly what you're asking about. But I'll just say, just off the top of my head, Rochester, Mankato, Duluth, these are all Minnesota, but La Crosse, are all cities that we've studied extensively because they've all found a way, and we consider them similar size cities in the upper Midwest that we can compare ourselves to. And so, yes, over the years we have studied those facilities. We have the configurations and the concepts. You know, we studied Mankato really closely when they were going through their development in the mid-90s. One of the things that I will share, though, that's really interesting is when we started the Clear Vision process, I went kind of to dust off that binder from 15 years ago of those facilities and took a look at what's happened since then. Every single one of those facilities that we were studying in the mid-90s has since expanded. And so, you know, that says something. And so I do plan to bring more specifics to the next session and share that information with you.
And on that note, too, I'd like to add, you know, we're looking at stuff all around that works, but we're also looking at stuff all around that doesn't work, so we don't copy that. I know that Green Bay had some issues with the Widener Center. That was a partnership that was looking good, and then things didn't quite work. Also, you look at Madison, the Overture Center was a huge debacle. It was overbuilt, so we don't want to do too much either. I appreciate your comment from earlier, make it big, make it huge, but at the same time, this is Eau Claire, Wisconsin. We are not Madison, so let's not overbuild it. Let's not get overzealous and think it needs to be this, you know, giant blob of a building with a roller coaster on top. Although that would be way cool. You know, let's make sure that it's right for Eau Claire. You know, not the roller coaster. Maybe we'll put a little, you know, Liney's Lodge up top or something. It needs to be right-sized for who we are and what we want to do. We've got, you know, a lot of good things going on here. We want to make sure we're highlighting those and not trying to overshadow them with some crazy something or other.
You know, we talk a lot about La Crosse, and they already have the La Crosse Center. And they recently, the La Crosse Community Players announced that it was going to wanted to build a new theater in downtown, and they got Viterbo University as a partner, and they were able to raise the necessary funds between those two entities to get that going. So there's an example. Another example is the Fox Cities Theater in Appleton, which we were just reading. We share articles all the time, the three of us here, and we were reading about the economic impact that has had on Appleton and the property values in downtown and a lot of the building that has occurred in downtown Appleton as a result of that. So we have been actively looking at that, and I think Ben's point is really well taken, is you want to look at what works and then what doesn't, so that you're not stepping into, as I say, if we know where the cow pies are, we can miss them rather than scrape them off the bottom of our boot And so that those are the things that we are looking at or have looked at as a committee.
Our panel consists of Mike Rindo from UW-Eau Claire, Ben Richgruber, Executive Director, Eau Claire Regional Arts Center, and Linda John, Executive Director of Visit Eau Claire. We're talking about major new event facilities in Eau Claire. This is a Clear Vision Community Forum on 88.3 WHWC. I'm Al Ross. You can participate with us online at volume1.org/eventcenter. And we're reading some of the comments that are coming in now. I also have a handful of things that came in this afternoon. We have a question over there? Okay.
Hang on. We'll get you a microphone. And
yeah.
Why don't you come this way, Sean?
We got to hear you. You bet.
One of the benefits of real-time radio is I sat down to my computer about an hour and a half ago and thought I'd have 3 hours of uninterrupted work. But I remember getting a couple jottings about this meeting. I teach geography at the university, and we have a center called the Confluence Center for Chippewa River Studies. And we've looked at the same issue, but as geographers, we always look at it a little bit different. And we start from the land up. I think it's 2006. I do graphics. I got some handouts over here. We did a project called Top 10 Ways to Make Eau Claire a World-Class River City. And two of the areas that we talked about are pertinent to here, a downtown arts center and lower Chippewa, south side of Menominee Street, the industrial complex there, converting that into some sort of athletic complex. And as geographers, we look at it in terms of what is the infrastructure? What does the land tell us? Almost in a bare way of stripping off everything that's built environment, looking at the potential. And the other thing is what I've learned about. I've been in Eau Claire for 28 years. I did my graduate school in Madison. I really love Madison. There's a lot of things in Madison that I work on that I can envision. But I've also realized Eau Claire is Eau Claire. I had a student that wanted to open up a golf course that we did this kind of, you know, GPS was an early for golf course design. And we found a good site. And then my brothers come up and wanted to go golfing on a couple days' notice. And I call out to about four golf courses in town. And 2 days before Saturday, they all have holes open. Eau Claire is a get-out-of-town town. If you know that, a lot of the stuff is because we got close to amenities. What does this mean in terms of design? We got to overkill. We got to make things really right. I made the same argument a few years ago when Phoenix Park was being developed. If you remember, there was a little bit of a tiff between the city and the community about where this building would actually go on one side of the building and the other. And we didn't get real academic with them at the time, but what we did was what we do here is natural capital. This confluence is the most significant capital that our city has. And by putting the road instead of a grid, curving the road, and making it basically the water side of that curved road, public space and green space, and pulling the building back here, you know, and have basically this side of the word, the commercial space, they worked really well together. You might remember this, the city council actually voted it down. But Charlie voted it up. The good news is we're here. But it was similar type of thing. And you see the potential when we try to overachieve. At the same time, the city council kept asking me, well, Hartnett, who's going to pay for it? Well, you can't buy capital like this, natural capital. Much the same way, across the river here is the perfect spot for our world-class arts center. In fact, on this plan, It's shaped like a baseball diamond. I actually dropped in a softball diamond from Stein Fields, put it right in there. And that space, again, would be unique in the world. It's our, in 2006, we called it our Monona Terrace. Imagine a building that's fan-shaped, theater in the center, elevated off the ground because of the floodplain, but that's going to make all the views nice. Theater in the inside. And then on the back side, a whole bunch of glass that's going to fan out in the water. I got a chip here where you can actually see this thing. But it not only goes from a theater, it goes to a convention center because you'll have a lower deck and an upper deck, maybe 20 or 30 feet wide, indoor and outdoor capabilities fanning out on the river, 350 feet long, upper and lower deck. You can hold a lot of conferences in that space, and nobody's going to have a room like that in the world overlooking the river. Who's going to pay for this? Who knows? But we have the potential to put a design in that building, to put a building that, again, people that play that theater, people that come to a conference there, people that would have weddings on this balcony are going to be able to say, we have the potential to have a world-class facility. And that's what's exciting about this. The downside about it is, you know, we're one of the poorer areas of the state. We're in the shadow of the Twin Cities. We are going to have to do things to make bands come out of the way of the Twin Cities. You know, I have a music show. You know, when John Prine came to town, we really pushed that hard. I think I got all 15 of my listeners came to that show, and we barely filled up that place. Greg Brown, nationally acclaimed act, comes to town. We disappointing show. You know, we had Bon Iver on campus, filled it up twice in a row. We can't use that as a planning thing. How many of you have gone to see other Eau Claire's other nationally known act from Eau Claire? Megaphone. Anybody? You can see? It's a steep slope from there. But if we do something world-class, then we've got potential. So it's very encouraging that we have these first steps, and it's encouraging with any of these types of planning issues, we have to come from all sorts of for different perspectives. See, so you have geographers. We look at that lay of the land, and we see that. In fact, the city has a plan there somewhat for the grass and a low key. Or we get that right across the river. We don't have a site that is going to be unprecedented for a future arts center. So if we can get that vision, exclaim that vision, you know, I think it's a good enough, much like I tried to convince the city council, that Phoenix Park, if we do this right, ideas pay for themselves. In theory, we design that building, show a little bit of potential, target where we're going to be good at. You know, we're not going to be Las Vegas for conventions. You know, and I see all three of these kind of structures kind of interconnected. We get one going. If we get a good arts center going, that might be increase the justification for a convention center. So, you know, it's very well linked. One final parting thought. I've been frustrated, as many of you have, with Eau Claire. You know, I'm German-Irish background, but somehow I got Norwegian in me now. And I've lived here long enough. But that's the beauty of it. You know, we don't make rash decisions. I was all for when I moved to town here in 84 to building an arena at that time. I think that time might have been gone. If we do that arena, much like this downtown thing, we got to do that right. I've been to La Crosse. I've been to Rochester. You know, I mean, they're the same. You know, we got to do things that are distinctive. You know, for that lower Chippewa River, in fact, this is the last thing. Here's where we're at a point. We see that whole industrial area down there. That was the edge of town. Now it's the center of town. We've got businesses that, and I'm told that some of them are interested in moving. And actually, all of the stuff that they have down there moves. Bricks moves, buses moves, everything moves. It'd be in the vision of the town to keep them moving, find an ideal location for them that better serves their industry, and have that be a whole river corridor. That's where your arena would be. We could start with ball fields. We could build, if we're going to target things, we could build NCAA caliber fields, have soccer tournaments, track tournaments, and that would bring NCAA things in there and open the potential maybe for the arena. But those other things are a lot cheaper to get off the ground. The thing that's pressing right now is we also have another, as geographers see, land issues. The why, okay? The why needs to be on that side of the road, not where it is now. Where we're looking at it now, that's an environmental area. Sooner or later, trust me, how many of you think that sooner or later we're going to get that industrial area, move it to town, and eventually reclaim that riverfront as part of our town? Right? Why not start now? And the why is the place to start. I mean, if they build that multi-million dollar building on the wrong side of the area, and 5 years later we push on and this thing, we're not going to look good, okay? But we have potential. So if we want to figure out where we're going to start, where we're going to take the first steps, that's where some dialogue could be productive right now, because the Y is a big player in this community for circulating people. And that's an important thing. Okay?
Thanks. Thanks very much. You know, if we get specific ideas, if we don't get those, we get some good candidates for committees, you
not
guys.
Too shabby. Yeah.
Some very good candidates for committees. You're listening to our broadcast called Creating Major New Event Facilities in Eau Claire, a Clear Vision Community Forum. This is Wisconsin Public Radio, Ideas 88.3. I'm Al Ross. Volume1.org/eventcenter is where you can also participate. I have some comments. You guys want to comment on any of the speakers that we've had recently? You know, what I was thinking is obviously there are several debates left. Site is one. What kind of facility is another? So where are we in that process? How do we get to that point where those decisions are made?
Well, I think it's a sifting and winnowing process, and we're going through that tonight. And, you know, this is a pretty good document that Sean just provided us in terms of possible highest and best uses of locations along the rivers. And that's one of the things that we heard in our discussion is let's bring the rivers into play here and then make appropriate decisions based on the kinds of facility we might be pursuing. All of this dialogue is exactly what we're hoping to get. We really need your ideas, because out of your ideas is how we arrive at the idea or one or two ideas. And so I just really think that what we're hearing has been very valuable.
I'll also just add that I think there were some good comments made as far as priority of facilities, first, second, third. Speaking on behalf of tourism, I don't disagree at all with the comments being made of getting the buzz going with the community arts and cultural facilities first to make it more of a draw for the conventions. I don't think there's a disagreement. And again, it's not like we're looking at a competition amongst these facilities. It's what's the most logical process, and let's tackle one. Let's get going.
One of the things that seems to be a theme coalescing is let's play to our strengths that we already possess as a community. And those strengths are the arts and culture that we have here and the people that we have that are engaged in that who can flourish if given the right kind of performance venues and fine art venues in which to show their work. And then we have some unique geographic characteristics that we can perhaps maximize to our benefit to create some facilities that are unlike any in other communities. Those are some of the things that I'm hearing that are resonating. Am I seeing some shaking of heads? Is there some agreement on that?
No,
okay,
that's true.
All right, I got some thumbs up.
There you go.
All right, there's good. Some
applause there.
All right, so
yes.
So I'm just trying to confirm, you know, as we distill this, seems to be the direction that we're going in from the discussions tonight.
Well, it does appear that this newest effort is taking a lot of roots. I mean, we are talking, by the way, of doing this again in April. I think there's another one of these forums on the schedule. So look for that and get your neighbors to show up because, again, you know, the discussion has to not only continue, it has to get louder. And for it to get louder, we need more people. I'm going to allude to some of the things that have been mentioned on the Volume 1 site that came in this afternoon. We've got to make sure it's as close to the city core as possible. Show everyone how Eau Claire does it. Safe, healthy, and fun. And this was in relation to a comment that talked about getting plenty of bike trails and pedestrian walks and underground bike storage and things like that. Here's someone who says, and if someone has another question, we only have about 5 minutes left, but okay. Let me get to you.
Here I come. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. My name is Tom Stolpe. I live here in Eau Claire. First, a comment and then a question. It's interesting. We heard both examples of the Appleton PAC and the Green Bay Widener Center. I live between those two communities where I went to college. And my experience anecdotally was, given the option between the two locations, most people, and actually most touring performances, chose the PAC. Now, there was one issue. It had 25 more seats than the Widener Center. They could sell more tickets. The other issue was that more concert-goers, show-goers, were interested in going to the Appleton PAC because, unlike the Widener Center, it wasn't in the middle of nowhere on a college campus. The PAC was in the heart of downtown Appleton, in and amongst beautiful restaurants, beautiful other cultural experiences, shops. I think what I'm hearing here tonight, and one thing that I'm really encouraged by, and a demographic I'm particularly excited about, is the number of young people here, myself included. This is something that the young professionals of Eau Claire feel very strongly about. As the gentleman said earlier, when they're recruiting, you know, to new executives and executive types to come to Eau Claire, they have to pay them more in order to get them to settle here in Eau Claire because they lose out on those authentic cultural experiences. We have them here. We just need to bring them all together. The question I have, and I think you're alluding to this, what can, you know, you have, I think, a great group of people who are excited about this project. What can we do as far as next steps to keep this moving forward and to spread the word?
That's actually a good question to leave with. And so let's all think about that because we only have a couple minutes left. So let's think about that between now and the next time we get together. Write things down when you're at home. I mean, the brainstorm session is community-wide. Anything is valuable when you're brainstorming. Nothing is off the table. So do whatever you can to come up with what you can. I think
now let me just add, when you say what can you do, if you could remember what we showed you tonight or go back to the information that's on clearvisioneauclaire.org and take a look at that, how the civic engagement process works. Identify people that you want to talk to about this project and get their thoughts. And then feed those thoughts into the data on volume1.org. Have conversations with your own power mapping people so that you can then extend that out and then encourage them to do the same thing, because that's really how this spreads. We really need to do this virally through one-on-one contact. So that's what I would encourage you to do.
You bet. Thank you. And speaking of thank yous, thanks to RCU for accommodating us tonight. Thanks to Nick Meyer in Volume 1, Dean Kallenbach, Grace Fair, Rich Kramer, the WPR staff. You're reminded that the Volume 1 commenting will still be open after the meeting. So you can go to volume1.org/event center. Thanks to Linda John, Ben Richgruber, and Mike Rindo. I'm Al Ross. We'll do this again. Thanks.